In this episode of Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, Damon and Gary talk about the fifth episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. In tonight's episode, Mama Ru lights a fire under the Queen's asses as they present in the Despy Awards. Meanwhile, the Cubs stitch on the joys of the cutthroat Kathy Griffin, the display of the realness of getting realer and having a cocktail with Miss Kasha Davis. And who else is I'm over it? Find out as COL Drag Race Episode 5 starts now. RuPaul Drag Race.
Welcome everybody to Cubs Out Loud RuPaul's Drag Race Tea Time. It is April 2nd, 2015. And we are discussing episode number five.
Mm-hmm. Five in. Interesting.
It is. I'm Gary.
And that would make me Damon.
And we're going to jump right into things. So episode five was the Despy Awards,
mm-hmm.
which I think was supposed to be kind of a silly reference to desperate, like the Desperate Awards.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's my take on stuff.
I think I'm pretty sure that's what they were going for. I wish they could have said something, just a little something, just to, you know, give a hint. Because could Despy stand for something? I don't know. Maybe it does. Because it was all in caps. I'm just saying.
Yes. Agreed. You're kind of like going, not quite sure what that's about.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's get right into it. First impressions. What I wrote in our document that we work off of is, what's the theme? Oh, that's right. This season is themed Realness Got Realer.
Ooh.
That's what they started with the trailers and the promotion. I had to go back and remember. And I have to say, of seven seasons, I think there is some of the most frank, honest comments being made to camera.
Okay.
Whether they're good or bad is up to you to decide.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of, I feel that. Like, I get the realness is gonna real. And I will admit, this season feels a little bit more real. We're not having the overwhelming drama of seasons past. You don't have the Coco and whatnot. You don't have all of that. You don't have the Fifi and Sharon Needles bullshit drama. This is them being like putting them in there and being like, this is me, this is who I am, and this is what we do, and there you go.
Right.
So I will admit to that. Yeah, I forgot about that realness just got real.
Yeah, I was wondering what that meant when they started that campaign. I was like, So that being said, I want to start us off tying on to my comment about what the theme is, because Mrs. Kasha Davis starts off the episode. She's got some thoughts. And this is about the end of the previous episode 4 about who got eliminated.
Yes.
When you listen to the clip, Katya makes the first comment, and then Mrs. Kasha Davis takes it from there.
The vibe around the workroom is a little bit shocked.
And this may sound like old lady bull or whatever, but after trying for this for 7 years and somebody's like, this, that pisses me off.
Yeah. Pearl, I'm sorry you didn't like your criticisms, but buck up, Buttercup.
Be grateful for the opportunity that you have. Otherwise, leave.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mrs. Kasha Davis. That's all I got to say about that one.
She didn't hold back in confession.
No, she did not.
She was like, done.
Leave. Get out. Felicia is like, I could feel that, because that's just like, especially like she says, you know, I've tried all seven seasons or all six, you know, six, seven seasons to get on this show. And for you to be like, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. So that'll go into my comment, my first impressions of this show, and that is, why are you on this show? There are some queens on this show, and we kind of know who they are. Fine, I'll mention them by name. Pearl, Violet, Candy Ho, who have this, like, I don't want to call it privilege thing, but it just kind of feels that way. Like, they're tired of being judged, and I'm over it. And I've heard that more than once from these girls. Like, I'm over it. Okay. If you're over it, go. Get out. Leave. Because if you're – the point of the show, if you've not noticed in the past 7 years, is to get critiqued, to get judged, to put your best foot effort out there. And, yeah, they may not like what you did, but you're not going to get praised for it. Surprise, you're not going to get praised for it. They may not like it. They may love it and then be like, all on you. But that's the point of the show. They're going to have to pick a winner. And in order to do that, they've got to weed everybody out. And in order to do that, you've got to be judged. So get over this, like, I'm over it. Like, no, fuck you. If you're over it, like Mrs. Kasha Davis said, leave. And that was my thoughts. Like, it was, and it started all the way back in, like, the second episode with Violet and the whole I hate Michelle Visage. Like, come on. And I'm noticing it from the young queens. And I'm not trying to put that young versus old thing on there, but that's kind of what I'm getting in a lot of this season is there are a lot of these girls, these young ones, that are just like, why am I being judged so harshly? Or why are they saying these things about me when I'm obviously doing the best that I can? Like, no. You're on the show to be judged. Deal with it. That was a bit of a rant.
I'm giving you snaps because, Damon, you're I think you hit it head on. I think you brought out the point that for some reason what we're seeing is these performers not understanding the core concept of this. And yeah. It's the queens who have been performing for a number of years, whether it be 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 600 years, whatever it is. They have been through the trenches. They have been putting it out there, not making a buck, or at least not getting ahead making a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why they're on the show, you know? They want that coin. I can't blame them. 100,000.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Even
that's
after
a lot of wigs.
Even after taxes, 50,000. That's still a lot of money, you know?
Got some wigs in there. Got some nice dresses in that. You got some travel money. I'm just saying it. There's a reason for this show, and there's a reason for this contest, and that's to get the prize and get the crown, as Detox would say, crown it and be done. You know, yes, that's the whole point of this show, and if you don't get that, you don't need to be here.
Yeah, I agree. You're ready for the next segment.
Yeah. So I will get off my soapbox.
That's okay. Thoughts on this episode kind of ties to that. I feel like – this is going to be a strange analogy. I feel like this episode was the colander episode where you really start to see more of like the separation. Maybe maybe a gravy separator is a better analogy, where you're really starting to take away what you're getting as you realize, okay, y'all got to go. You know what I mean? Like love you, appreciate your aesthetic, you got to go. You are just not bringing it. You are not rising enough. And those that are becoming the favorites that are proving themselves are the ones that are taking in the critique, understanding what's being said, not talking back to the judges.
Uh-huh.
And it's becoming clearer. I think we should revisit in another, either next week or the week after, where we stand on who we think the top three are.
Uh-huh.
Because it's kind of like when you're at the eye doctor's office, you know, and they go, lens one, lens two. You know what I mean? And she just, like, things start, like, kind of focusing in and crystallizing. And it's becoming very obvious to me who probably our top four or five are going to be, unless they royally fuck it up, which they could.
Yep.
So that's kind of where my thoughts are. This is a strange filler episode to kind of weed out a part of this. I will say this before we reveal towards the end of our recap show here. I wasn't happy about the elimination, but I don't take beef with it. I think who won deserved to win for what they did in their lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one pivotal moment, and I'll talk about it later, when I was like, and she won it. Like,
got it.
That was the moment that she put the nail in the coffin, or whatever you want to use as an analogy. She did it, she got it, and there's a reason why the person that went home. But here's the interesting thing for me is the person who went home, to me, is a rising star.
Mm-hmm.
Has the potential to hang up there with folks like Pandora Box, Raja, you know, these queens who were on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? Like keeping their name in the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
I agree that this was the episode. I like this episode, and I agree with you that it was a wheat from the chaff, if that's the kind of thing that you want, or we're sort of figuring out who's, like you said, who's going to be that top, and this was a good episode to provide that information to us, just because of the challenge, which was a fun idea, but Desperate Awards, whatever you want to call it, it was an interesting take on their normal, like, comedy sort of the challenge that they have, are the, like, the roast, are the, you know, things like that, where you're it was an interesting take on it, and it allowed them to make fun of each other and make fun of themselves and have fun with each other, and that's one of the things I liked about it. But it failed a little bit in that you still had to give the awards, you still had to award people, and it was kind of meh to me. Anyway, but the kicker for me is, and you, I know you're going to bring her up later, but the challenge was, if you didn't see the episode, was it was the Despy Awards. They were to be presenters for an award, and they were given the awards, and there was notes come out. Sexy, sexy drag queen, busted queen, shadiest queen, and meatiest tuck, which were the awards. And then you had two that were the co-host who started the show. And to help them out, they brought back Miss Kathy Griffin, who I was just so famous for, and she has I've seen it all over like Facebook and Google Plus, is the more gay. I love that because it was perfect, and it was for her to be like, of all people, to be like, more gay. I'm like, yeah, it, go ahead, girl, more gay.
Yeah, she I thought she was a great coach mm-hmm. for this episode, and she pretty much put them all in their place.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Unintentionally, was she delivering the consistent message of, "Queen, you think you're funny?
Uh-uh. No, you're not. No, you are not.
You might be witty. You might have good one-liners, but you got work to do."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, seeing them do that in front of her, I thought, I don't know how I would do. Like, I know I'm funny. I can be funny.
Yeah.
I've been funny. But Ginger had one of the best lines of the episode where she said, you know, I thought it was funny. And then I met Kathy Griffin. And now I need to call my mama to feel better about myself.
Yes. Yeah. I laughed out loud because that was one of those, like, it makes sense because it was like, she's meant to be biting and hilarious, and that's her thing. And we know that she's known for not holding back. Well, not at all, but for the most part, not holding back most of the time. So her literally knocking these queens down a peg, thinking that, yeah, and I agree. You thought you knew what you were doing, but you're not. And I'm glad that she was an excellent coach and that she gave them constructive criticism in her own, like, blunt force trauma kind of way. Like,
right.
Like, she literally went flat and cut it, right? That cut that joke. Nope, wrong. No, don't do that. Done that to death. Don't do that again. I love her. She was to Jaden and Kennedy, because I think they're always saying girl, 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 girl. She was like, nope, nope. Gets tired, and it did. It was. I was already tired by the time we started, so.
Well, and they said it like 10 times in a row.
Yes.
In like less than 5 seconds, it seems.
Yes.
And then the best part of the editors was they threw in a clip of Kennedy in confessional saying, girl. And I was like, oh, no. Obviously, you are now aware that you have a verbal tic.
Mm-hmm.
It's your go-to when you're uncomfortable because you are not thinking about the things that you're saying or paying close enough attention to that. I know that mine is I hear it all the time on our shows. it's also so.
So.
So I know what my verbal tics are. I try to keep them toned down. I don't know if I will eliminate them.
No.
But yes, that was agreeable. So yes. That is now an infamous GIF of Kathy Griffin screaming more gay.
More gay. Oh, that was it was perfect. Oh. Anyway, so yeah. Anyways, my verbal tick.
That's okay. Ready for the next segment?
Yeah.
Uptown, downtown, turn the beat around town. Hip hoppin', bebopping. New York City beat.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on Untucked?
Yes.
My only comment on Untucked is the fat girl cries. And this is not a diss.
Yeah.
This is a factual statement in more than one way. During Untucked, this week, Ginger Minj gets her video love letter from home.
Mm-hmm.
And her man of 9 years comes up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And in literally 1.5 seconds, she is going into an anxiety attack.
Yes.
And like I got goosebumps. You probably can't see. Like my hair's standing on end. So instantly I'm like, and here we go. Like, yeah. I already know I'm an emotional person. I like Ginger, and then it was all over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she's trying to catch her breath, and she's not. And all I was watching it, and I kept yelling. I was like, "Breathe, girl, breathe." Has no one taught you breath control? Like, you are about to hyperventilate the shit out of your ass and pass out. I was really, really touched.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitively more moved by Ginger's emotions than by what her partner had to say. Not that his words were not important.
Yeah.
He said amazing things, especially the epitome of, no matter what happens, just come home because you're a winner to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I was waiting for the one line, though. I just wished he had said, but I'd like you to win and come home with $100,000.
Yes, yes.
just
that little
stinger. Like, I miss you, I love you, but bring home the coin,
please. Yes, I was. It kind of rolls into my thoughts on the Untucked episode. There are some emotions finally. And as I was listening to it, and I listened to it again, this was one of the few times that I had an opportunity to watch everything over again. Apparently they've had those in the past few weeks. Like someone mentioned that someone had a one last week or something.
And Ginger says in the Untucked towards the end about how Kennedy had hers last week.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy or Kasha? It's one of the K's. I want to say maybe it was Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, apparently it wasn't that moving or riveting or revealing or something, because they made a choice in editing to not show it.
Yeah. This is the first one they've shown. So I'm thinking maybe based on, not to be rude, but based on the emotional baggage and value of it, they felt like this one needed to be on air. So whatever. But I'm glad that there were some emotions. There was Ginger, who, love her to death, but woo, that she couldn't, like you said, I was honestly a little scared, because I saw that makeup under her, the black under her eyes, and I'm like, ooh, don't cry, bitch. Don't cry. Because that stuff starts running, it is, bitch, you get off the face.
What made me laugh, it came to my mind immediately, was she makes the Tammy Faye joke, which I was like 3 steps ahead of her watching her. I was like, and she gonna look like Tammy Faye Baker. And then there was a part of me that thought of, it was either Raven or Raja at some point in the past, and I don't think it was their season. I think it was like them watching a season after them. And one of them said, at some point you gonna cry. And why the F you don't wear waterproof mascara is beyond me. And I've always thought that ever since then. I'm like, really, girls? Come on.
Yeah.
I realized that maybe you only got so much money in a bank, and so you're going to get by with whatever you got. But the truth is, eventually, at some point, you're probably going to break down.
And it was the thing that I liked more than anything was there was a lot of emotion around it. It wasn't just Ginger that had her, obviously moment, because it was her husband and everything, and she kind of revealed. I liked what she revealed about herself, which makes it that much more intensely emotional. But there were other queens that were sort of having their, not saying they're having their moment with her, but they were just supportively, supporting her. Yeah.
Violet was moved, although the way you watch it, if I don't think people quite catch, Violet's one reaction was not one of repulsion.
Yeah.
It was one of, girl, you're adding another layer on top of this, and I don't think I can take any more.
Yeah.
It wasn't dismissive. It was like, you keep it up, and the dam's going to break, and I'm going to be a mess, too.
Yeah.
Fame, obviously.
Fame.
I'll get to that in just a second. And not Kennedy. That was strange to me that Kennedy was very stoic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a complaint. It's just an observation. I thought it was interesting that she was kind of reserved and held back. Max was all right. Kasha was right there, like the best friend parent with her arm on Ginger's back, trying to, comfort her and console her. Weirdly, Jaden was out on Mercury. She was not in tune with the emotion of the stuff. I almost thought she fell asleep when it happened, because then, they get the 5-minute warning and, girl's going to get up and touch everything up. And Jaden's like, ooh, all this emotion or whatever. It was out of nowhere. It was the strangest, to use a phrase from another season, water off a duck's back I'd ever seen. like she wasn't phased. That wasn't me. And I'm kind of like, wow, either you've got some big wall barriers up around you, or you're deflecting to the highest degree. I couldn't figure out which it was. Either it did not penetrate through and get through to you, or you worked so hard to keep it away. But Fame's freak out.
Oh, yeah.
That amazed me, and I so appreciated it. Jaden was making all these facial reactions. That's why they kept cutting to her. And then Jaden says in confessional, sometimes you just got to let all the emotion out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody gets that. I think you and I understand that, being people who are creative and do things and put ourselves out there. There comes a point when you can't take it anymore. And basically you, this is going to sound, sound very strange. You kind of almost have a psychotic break, but it's not in the way that you end up with a split personality or bipolarism or any diagnosis. It's just about the point where there is nothing that you can do to express how you feel, and you get erratic, but not in a harmful way. And I think that's what happened to Fame, was she was just so overwhelmed. She just couldn't keep it together. And then she's vacillating. She's swinging wildly from, like, in a strange manic style of, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm happy for you, I'm mad at myself for being sad and emotional. Like, she was just, like, you know, bouncing back and forth. I loved it, though. I realize some people might, from this episode, take away that Miss Fame is, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, as I say. I don't think she's crazy. I think she's just very in tune, and it took weirdly, ironically, oddly, strangely, whatever word you want to use, it took till episode 5 for us to start to get a bigger picture of Fame, and that she's just not a pretty face.
Yeah.
That she's actually a little complex. She's got some stuff going on underneath the surface and a background that I never would have seen coming
in years. That whole that chicken dough. I was sitting there, and when they started talking about it, and it, like, I will admit, I love tattoos, and I love looking at people, like, looking at tattoos, but when it's on a TV screen, you don't really, like, unless there's someone's pointing them out to you, you don't really see them, you know. So I never really looked at her tattoos. I was like, oh, she's got tattoos on her arm, and that was it. You know, they go, okay, you know, whatever. Girl's got a thing for chickens, and it's given what we now know about her background and that fun little quip that they had, that clip that they had of her with regards to the chickens, it was like, oh, okay, now we understand why you like chickens so much, and or we don't really understand it. Let's put that in there right now. I don't really understand it, but if that's your thing, go for it, and you go all out with the tattoos and everything. But she has a thing for chickens, and it was just, I agree, it was very interesting. Her reactions to it was almost as intense as, you know, Ginger's kind of reaction to what, you know, seeing her boyfriend and everything. Her reaction was just very, I hate using the word manic, but it was very manic. It was very, you know, back and forth and back and forth, and it was and I hope that it was real, genuine, like, this is how I'm feeling right now, that I'm really just in this so emotionally, like, strung out by this, that I am having this, like, episode. And it, you know, it was there, and it was, and it happened, and then it was gone, you know, and just like, yeah, but I hope that it was genuine. That's the only thing I've got to say, because yes, there are cameras on you, but yes, there are cameras on you. So
I see where you're saying that. I agree with you. I would be heavily disappointed and not very pleased if that was acting in a show as opposed to how she truly feels about things. For me, I agree with Jaden. Sometimes you just got to let it out. Like, there's nothing else, and it gets very strange and very weird, and you feel like you have no control over yourself.
Yeah.
But you'll make it through.
Yeah.
In that case.
You always, and I know that they always do, and that's sort of the, Alrighty.
Anything else?
That's really it. I'm glad that I keep saying it, and I'm going to say it again. I love this version of Untucked. I love this version of Untucked. It just, it's, to me, it, like, they're all in the same room. They can't go, you know, they can kind of go off and do their own little things here and there, but they're all kind of there, and they can't really, they have to face if they don't like something. Wait, let me make sure I'm not. Am I talking about this later? Hold on.
Well, what you just said makes me think of something. Mrs. Kasha Davis, has a little monologue moment when the rest of them come and they're all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all there in the untucked, you know, lounge, yeah. Backstage space.
Yeah.
And Kennedy's like, give it up. I want to hear, you know, what happened.
What happened, yeah.
And Candy Ho starts first. In what we saw, I'm not saying that it's out of sequence, but it plays an important point. Candy Ho goes first. She's one of the ones that says, I'm over it. I think I'm in the bottom two again. I do what I do. It doesn't seem to be good enough. Like, that's kind of her headspace. Mrs. Kasha Davis then pipes in and says what she got to say. She gets it all off her chest.
Mm-hmm.
The camera shots of the people's faces don't, for me, match up to what I thought they would react with.
Hmm.
I was under the impression that if Kasha was going to go off again, there was either going to be one of two reactions. The first one is eye rolls, like, bitch, we done. Heard you complaining for 4 weeks or however damn long they've been there.
Yeah.
Or the second one was going to be like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like, you know, kind of a pullback. Like, I'm going to let you have the floor because apparently you taking the mic. Do you know what I mean?
And, you got to preach. Go ahead and preach.
Right. And I didn't quite get that sensation. It was very surreal to me in this documentary style that they're doing this season that mm-hmm. all of them were rapidly paying attention to her. Nobody was dismissing her.
Yeah.
And Candy didn't seem to react the way I thought she would because it was so pointed. Like, Kasha was basically calling out Violet and Candy, who were right there in front of her.
Uh-huh.
As well as
Pearl.
Pearl, but also Jasmine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she just flat out gives exact quoted examples of things that have taken place already that she has had it.
Mm-hmm.
And she delivers it really decently. She doesn't fly off and, you know, have temper tantrum.
Yeah.
But she notably is like, and she said, I realize that I am old and I have tried for 7 seasons. I feel bad for her because I think that's what people are going to label her with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's that cranky queen who took 7 seasons to get on here and she's still cranky. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that was her intent, but when you say things a lot, it's your verbal tick, it's your go-to slogan, your thing. The camera's going to pick it up, and if they decide to throw it in there 17 times because you said it 17 times, then that's what you're going to become known for.
Yep. But
Mrs. Kasha Davis, her making that statement, this is why I say this season truly is the theme was accurate to say that realness got realer, because I think they're all owning their emotional states and putting it out there. And because they're forced to be together, everybody's got to kind of listen to it.
Yeah.
And they're going to process it in their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to, let's be divisive and separate ourselves. We're mm-hmm. going to the gold bar.
Yeah.
Let me go get a pink box. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I that's the thing I really like about this Untucked is that it forces them to, in some ways, confront each other. If they're having a problem with somebody, this is the time to do it. Yeah, you're on camera, but the only time you're away from these people is when you're in your hotel room, sleeping, and whatever. I don't even know if they eat together. I don't know. But it's one of those things where, like you're always together, and you're going to have to confront these things. And instead of, like, let's you and me have a little conversation over here in this other room where we can kind of bitch and moan about what these other girls are doing, I'm right here. You can talk directly to me. If you have a problem with me, say something to me, as opposed to let me just say something to this person over here, and maybe it'll eventually get back to you. And then we have the whole big knockdown, dragout fight kind of thing that we've seen in seasons past. Yes, that drama is still there. Like, that's the thing I've been getting from a lot of people. Like, I hate the season because it's not that drama. Yeah, the drama is still there. It's just not as shady.
I think they changed the dynamic that it doesn't look like the Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Meaning these knockdown, drag out, I'm going to rip your weave out, girl, throw a drink in your face, stab you with a stiletto.
Yeah.
If I'm going to come for you, I'm going to cut your wigs. Do you know what I mean? These zinger one-liners, you know, in your face kind of things. It is definitely different this season. Mm-hmm. I do want to make a mention before we move on. I was intrigued with Violet's moment of growth.
Mm-hmm.
She opened up a little bit, and then I felt so much for her when she tried to talk, and then she got talked over.
Mm-hmm.
And she said in confessional, I start to open myself up, and it doesn't matter because I just get shut down or whatever. And I thought, she's got a point. And I felt for her that nobody seemed to be paying much attention except for Pearl.
All right, Pearl.
Because Pearl said not to lob another layer on you or, you know, to add another one to reinforce it. I think she was trying really hard to preface, I'm going to say something. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to say something. Don't take this the wrong way. But I thought that was interesting that she tried to speak her mind and explain that it's been rough and it's been hard and she hasn't been connecting with people and she's finding it very difficult. Mm-hmm. And Fame is right now kind of her only compatriot that spends time with her.
I still don't like her. I'm just going to say that point blank. But I felt for her is a little too strong. I understood her because the one thing I know I personally hate is when I'm trying to say something and I'm trying to explain something to someone and they talk over me or someone else is talking. And it's like, they all genuinely asked her what her problem was kind of, and she was giving her answer and nobody heard. Like, what was the point of asking that question or like confronting her about it when you're not even going to listen to what she has to say? I know you guys don't like her and I don't like her either, but you have asked her to explain herself and she's trying to, and instead of giving her the opportunity to explain herself, you explain herself for her.
I agree that it was unfortunate that no one stepped forward, be it Max or Mrs. Kasha Davis, who I think would have been the two most likely candidates that are very parental in personality, it seems, to pause everybody and say, wait, hold on, let her speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like to just give everybody that moment to just kind of nip it for a second, you know, and hold on and let her say what she has to say. No one was there for her, not even Fame, which I'm not blaming Fame, but because they've gotten closer as of this episode from what we've seen, she didn't have anybody in her corner. And that's unfortunate because I think it will go one of two ways in the future. My opinion is it will become more of a wedge issue and divisive that she doesn't get respect.
Mm-hmm.
Or it will begin this process where she does start to get respect because she starts to stand up and reveal more about who she is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
We'll see how it goes. I agree. I think there's something to be said about the one that's like in the corner, like everybody hates her, you know, and they even said it in the episode, like, yeah, everybody here kind of hates you, but the judges love you, you know. I wouldn't say that they've enjoyed some of the things she's done. I wouldn't say they love her, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It's difficult to kind of determine what how that's going to play itself out, but are you ready for our next segment?
I am ready.
All right. So we're starting to get towards the end and we're at takeaways. What made an impression on me is my thought as a takeaway for this whole episode is she is Mama Ru for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
When it is necessary, she will be the parent. She will stand up and put you in your place, basically. She will do the dirty deed of being the slap upside the head.
Yep.
Kick in the ass. Whatever you want to call it, she'll do that thing. So I have a clip from the episode. It's long compared to all the other clips we normally play. To set it up, if you haven't seen the episode, or if you have seen the episode, you just might want to relish listening to it all over again. Max and Pearl are working together as a team. And they are presenters for the DESPY Awards. So they are now working on their shtick. How are they going to make jabs at each other? How are they going to make jabs at the other queen? How are they going to relate to each other? How are they going to stand out?
Mm-hmm.
And Rue is doing what Rue does. Rue goes around the workroom, talks to everybody in the room. Everybody kind of gets their one-on-one moment, so to speak. Have that whole thing. This is that interaction. And if you haven't seen it or heard it yet, I suggest you go watch it because the visuals that go with this audio are astounding.
Yes.
There is a major miscommunication issue that happens, in my opinion. So let's take a listen. It's going to start off with Rue asking Pearl and Max about how they're doing and what they're going to do. And then it takes this – to borrow a saying from my childhood, it takes a left turn at Albuquerque that goes just the most wicked, weirdest way. And then it just gets you very, very twitchy. Let's take a listen.
Hey, ladies.
Hello, darling.
Hi, RuPaul.
So what award are you presenting?
We get to present the most busted drag queen. It gives us an opportunity to be a little bit more cutting.
Right, because this is about funny banter.
We're going to go off of like a subtlety thing where it's just like speaking, just very soft and gentle, but very cutty.
What you're describing is not the easiest thing to pull off. Now, you have a very big personality. Pearl, you do not have a very big personality. How are you going to overcome that for this award?
I think that I have a great personality, actually.
Pearl, you know, the reason I'm twisting your tits here is because you were in the bottom last week.
Right.
And I want to make sure that this week you up the ante.
Well, you kind of like told me I had no personality. I mean, that doesn't make me feel good or give me confidence.
Well, I'm hoping it will light a fire under your ass.
Is there something on my face?
No, I'm just not convinced. I'm just not convinced. And I want you to do well. That's why I brought your ass here.
It's so intense.
I never want to see any of my girls not live up to their potential. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. All right. I will see you all later.
Thank you, Rue.
I feel very uncomfortable right now.
Oh! Ah! 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 Okay. Are you ready? So, number one. The one thing I have to say, Pearl, she did not say you have no personality. She had, you had a little personality. If you want to give her, if she said, Max has a very big personality, you do not have a big personality. Please take every word that is said in context. She did not say you had no personality. She said you had a little personality in comparison to Max. And she was asking you how you're planning to pull that off. Like, that was my one, like I was like, oh my God, Pearl. Like, shut up. Like, she did not have no personality. But she went on ahead and went there, didn't she? With that whole, like, lighting a fire under your ass, and I'm not convinced. I love that line. Is there something on my face? No, there's something. Well, there's egg on your face. No, your face is on the floor because she just ripped it off. I'm not convinced. Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I was flabbergasted.
You have no idea.
If we thought, what was it, two episodes ago when Rue had her Tyra moment?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it, no, it was three episodes ago when episode two.
No more goddamn excuses, yes.
Right, when she had her moment, oh yeah, trust me, I was like living for it. And then when this happened, I was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Completely not prepared for the verbal smackdown and the incredulously crazy perspective that Pearl couldn't get it.
Yeah.
It was like someone had put a Big Mac in front of her and said, there's your lunch. And she said, what? What do you mean? I don't see anything. Like, it was just one of the most gonzo things in the world. She just was not picking up, putting it down. Yeah. And from what they showed, I kind of got the impression that the whole workroom heard it.
Yeah.
And was all like, oh.
Oh.
And, of course, Max has the ultimate delivery.
Yes. Go ahead, Max. Snaps to you. Because that was just – it was the perfect line after that intense moment. It was just like, yep. And you do. You – I if I were in the where she was, she was literally in the middle. Like, here's Pearl. Here's Rue. And daggers, like, going across from both of them. And you're just like friendly fire. Like, you're not even, you know, not even friendly fire. You're just sort of like, oh my God. It's just.
Well, I think in my mind, to be a little more fair, the example is Pearl is throwing daggers or arrows, and Rue has got laser beams in her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, nope. Like, I will incinerate everything you try to throw at me, and I am about to burn a hole through your head.
and but yes, it was exactly what Pearl needed. She left. Oh my God, she left. Oh, she left the fucking workroom.
She did. She walked out. Now here's a weird thing that came to me, though, Damon. I was like, well, I guess they do walk out because they got to go to the bathroom at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
So walking out of the workroom is not necessarily a big dramatic thing. In context for what just happened, it was slightly dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Max reveals that Pearl was gone for an hour,
mm-hmm.
and Max had actually started thinking through the process of, if Pearl doesn't come back, I guess I'm presenting by myself, and I better be ready for that.
Yeah.
Which, props to her, because I would have done the exact same thing.
Yep. Been like, hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing you do. And I was just like, I was sitting there like, and apparently she was gone, like she said, an hour. Like, she was gone for more than an hour or something like that. And it's like, if we're working on stuff right now and we're supposed to be doing stuff, and, you know, you had Katya, like, mention, like, here, me and who was her partner? Costa. We're going over these things. Mm-hmm. We're, like, starting to edit, and Pearl's not back yet. And it's like, what's going on? I would honestly, if I were Max, like, I would have been freaking out for a little bit and then be like, okay, I guess I'm doing this by myself. Let's flip the paper and be like, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What can I say? What can I do now that I'm basically going to be doing this by myself?
Right.
Cause.
I agree. So my takeaway is She's called Mama Ru for a reason, and that's yes. because sometimes she's got to put the smack down. She's got to do that thing, and that was like the moment of the episode for me personally.
And it apparently worked.
Yes. Very unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
Fame did exactly what the judges were on her ass for a couple weeks. She came out of her shell.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for her carrying on when they were presenting the awards and doing those like those zingers and imitation stuff.
Pearl. Yeah.
Did not see it coming.
Yeah.
I was not floored, but I was impressed.
Yeah.
That she did what she did.
See, I mean, I'm going to put this out there just because I feel that it needs to be said. I love you, Pearl, but you got a voice like Tyra Sanchez. You've got this very deep voice as a man that makes it really, really difficult for you to emote when you're being Pearl. You're being a woman when you're being that female. Because I wrote something down. I wrote pretty good because I said she needs to wake up more. And I'm realizing that now when I wrote it down and I looked at it again, I'm thinking, no, I don't think she needs to wake up more. She just needs to raise the tone of her voice more. Something like, I don't know how she can do it, but the way that her voice kind of comes off, at least is what we've seen, that deepness just sort of becomes very almost monotone. And because of that, it's really difficult to read like her inflections as well. Like some people, you can make a good inflection and it changes the tone and it changes the scope of what you're trying to say. If you're going to be like, you know, I'm just going to go get a candy bar. I'm going to go get a candy bar. You know, there's so much difference to that. And it has a lot to do with just, I think it honestly has to do with the deepness of her voice. And I want to listen to all the episodes where I've sort of hated her and be like, okay, maybe it's just her voice. No, it's not just her voice.
I understand where you're coming from, that the voice, if it doesn't seem to match the image, can be very disconnection, like in your brain. Raven is one that took me a long time to come around to. Because her voice was always kind of throwing me off compared to her look. I thought she was incredibly polished, gave great face, astounding face. But this voice, I was like, "What? Your voice is a bit sharp. Do you know what I mean?" And so I think that I agree with you that Pearl has this very interesting kind of tonality and to her voice, and possibly this, you know, basso profundo, which I know is probably not the accurate term. But it definitely has this resonance thing, and therefore it is odd. And I was not impressed with her Marilyn Monroe look. I thought half the time her painted chest looked right, like the way the light hit it, the way the camera angle was, and then the other half the time I was like, you look like you were flat-chested, and yet again, let someone take the crayons out of the box and just paint on your, you know.
Boobies.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it was a little strange.
I feel bad for these skinny-ass queens that had the paint on boobs.
Here's the thing, though. They technically don't. What they're not doing is they're not going through the pain for the look. They're not cinching themselves and duct taping and literally pulling what half inch of fat they have on their body. Do you know what I mean? Just the slightest quarter inch crevice.
Yeah.
Which makes all the difference in the world in 3D illusion.
Mm-hmm,
because there have been some queens that have been out there, either on the show or in real life that I've seen, who are this big and they look like they got a nice set of tits on them.
Yeah.
But when you see him as a boy, you are like, wait a minute, you are flat-chested. So then if you know enough about the art, you realize they are probably using cutlets. They are duct taping and pulling all of that in as best they can to try to make something out of it. Because unlike Jiggly Caliente,
yeah,
Mystique Summers, and Jade and Dior Fierce, they don't have a nice set of C pluses just sitting right there, ready to.
Zromp.
Yeah, they're not blessed to put on a corset and be like, well, don't I have a nice shelf now?
Yes. Yes.
So yeah.
And there's so many, but that's just the one thing I sit there and I go, oh, because it's not just her. Her and Violet do it this weird way. And Violet's I hate because it often goes like, it looks like she's doing like the under breast. And I'm like, you're doing it wrong. You need to go this way. This way. That's, you know,
it just, yeah, she does it strangely. And I think for me, and I don't know if this is accurate, for me, when you just said that, I think the problem is it's uniform.
Mm-hmm.
From top to bottom, so the C's, these curves, the paint looks uniform, and that's the problem. When you get towards the bottom, there should be more shadow. It should look darker. You should have the impression of depth. You know, like right, yeah, now there is a shadow on my forehead because of my hair. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and it looks different from top to bottom. It looks lighter in places and not in others. And I think it's too consistent. It looks,
yeah,
it looks perfect. And that's not good. It shouldn't look perfect. It should look real.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But, all right, your takeaway, Damon.
Oh, let me get back down. Okay.
Are we going to talk about who got eliminated?
We might as well talk about who won and talk about who got eliminated, because, yeah, right, it's, you know, we're at that point now where we can discuss it. Kudos to Pearl and Max for winning the challenge. I will own that out of them, I liked what they did, and they really won. To me, Pearl won by doing that one impression of Ginger. That it caught me completely off guard. It came out of nowhere. It worked. It came off really well. Mm-hmm. It was a really good impression of her. And it just, I was like, okay, go ahead. And Max has always been funny to me. Max has that, I was going to say quintessential wit, that she just knows the zips and whatnot to get things going. So they were a good pair.
Which is why I think they won.
Yeah.
Because I think someone else was funnier, but as a team, one person was funny and the other person got lost.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I'll go ahead and say who it is now, because I think this leads in, it kind of gets us to the bottom two.
Yeah.
I'm referring to Ginger and Candy Ho.
Yeah.
Ginger is a rhinoceros.
Yeah.
She will just stomp you flat into the ground if you are in the way. And she doesn't do it to be mean. She's just a big girl with a big personality and big fucking hair. This episode, too big, just my opinion. It was a little too much. I was like, ooh. Okay, I get that you got a helmet of hair on, but if you could have taken it down just about an inch, I think it would have looked a little better, but all the way around, circumference.
I think that's one of the penetrations there in Cincinnati.
Oh, well.
But anyway, I know Penny does a lot of hair, and it looks like something Penny has done, so.
Well, and then again, Ginger got clocked by the judges that Michelle Visage said to her, I'm going to talk to you about your black spray.
Uh-huh.
And Ginger owned it, and she said, oh, you need my velvet forehead? And she was like, just pull it back a little bit. And I agree. When Michelle pointed out, I was like, yep.
Yep.
You brought it down too far. It just, it looks weird.
Yeah.
Not in a glaring, like, what the hell's the matter with your head? But in a, it looks muddy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't quite look as defined. And then you've got Candy Ho, who honestly, I thought looked better than Ginger. I realized Ginger reveals in Untucked that it was a $5,000 dress, $5,000, whatever. Yeah. And Max says to confessional, well, you could have fooled me, but
yeah.
Michelle wasn't impressed either. Candy Ho's, I thought, looked much more pageant, much more regal, much more expensive. I was not a fan of the Muppet feather cape thing that she was wearing.
I liked it. I liked the cape. And the only reason I liked it was if what she was going for was that, like weird, like we've seen the girls on the runway, on a war show on red carpet, they wear those weird little things just for the sake of wearing them. Like something, you know, over here kind of thing. And that, it impressed me because you're going to talk about that. If she had been walking down the runway, or not the runway, the carpet, red carpet, and was, you know, if she were a real celebrity and she wore that thing, people would be like, why are you wearing that? But they would be talking about you.
I would have liked it better if it had been a high cut jacket. That was the
like a bolero.
Yes, I would have really appreciated if it came undone, so it quit choking her off, and it was like a half or a three quarter sleeve length, and it really did have sleeves instead of being like a capelet, and it was really high cut, so it came right to the bust. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. It would have. I think it would have played really well when she walked and she moved. She looked like she was cold, and that's why she was wearing it, because it kept her warm. And that was kind of a weird thing for me, and Isaac Mizrahi flat out says he was not impressed with her. I agree, the judges all liked the color. They thought that that hot, icy blue color was great, and I have to admit, it looked really good.
Yes.
Back to Ginger's forehead, she gets clocked for too much black, and then Candy Ho, she got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She has nothing to try to blend a hairline. It's just, just forehead, wig. Now, granted, her style of hair looked really decent, and I think that's where she got all the compliments about looking like Natalie Wood. Not that I think Candy Ho knows who Natalie Wood is offhand, but that's just another thing. I'm not trying to throw shade and be ignorant. Tea time. I think because she's Puerto Rican, she may not necessarily be aware of that American culture reference.
Yeah,
that's just my take. But
I don't know. That's the first thing that popped in my head was she's Puerto Rican. She probably didn't know that person, or she may know that person, but maybe not as well as a lot of us do.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Pearl and Max win.
One. Yay.
Great for them.
The bottom three, and I like mentioning this just because. Mm-hmm. See, it's happened a lot, where Violet, Candy Ho, and Mrs. Costa Davis. They were the bottom three. They were the last three on the stage. You know, they always give you three, and then they send one of them home. One of them's to safety. And the bottom two were Candy Ho.
Yes. Candy Ho and Mrs. Kasha Davis. Now, I have to agree. When they did the mini challenge, which was this crazy paper couture thing where they replicated famous
frock
looks on
paper
on a,
scissors.
Yeah, frock, paper, scissors, I thought was hysterical, and I hope they bring it back because I loved it.
Yeah.
They recreate famous red carpet looks using only crepe paper and like construction paper type stuff, and I thought that was great. In that, Kasha and Katya are a team, and they win, which gets them to be the hosts of the Despies. They win, and they blew it out of the park. Katya plays Bjork in the swan dress. Was fucking hysterical.
Yes.
Mrs. Kasha Davis channels her best impression of Joan Rivers. It wasn't spot on, but you know what? You knew who she was going for. It was funny. Some of the extra scene stuff that I'd seen online, it made me laugh. I was like, most definitely that is, you know, there was no mistaking what she was going for. So I would say if we were playing ball, she hit the ball. She may not hit it out of the park, but she at least hit the damn thing. Like,
yeah,
towards the outfield, something. So,
yeah.
So they ended up being the hosts. And then I agree with Jaden. When Jaden was like, when she did the, you know, Joan Rivers thing, she was fucking funny as hell. And then when they came out and started off the show as the hosts, Kasha's timing was off. It was weird.
It was very off.
And it showed better for Katya. And then when Katya wins Medius Tuck, she delivers one of the most peculiar and funny responses to the award. And I was like, when Ross later as a judge and critique says that pulled you back from the edge, like, you weren't doing well. And then when you won, you redeemed yourself.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me why as a duo, Kasha fell down, Katya rose, and that's putting Kasha in the bottom two.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, my takeaway obviously from this episode, it was going to be like Rue got it wrong again, and I again only because I love Kasha's shtick. You know, she was not the prettiest girl. And she was pretty fucking funny. I wouldn't call her the funniest. But the whole thing that she does, I love. It's a very interesting character. To me, it's that, you know, what she said, she's the suburban like housewife or whatever. And it just works. And her look and everything, it just sort of works for me. And that's why I like it. And I liked her. And for her to be, she was eliminated. You know, I don't think we've mentioned it officially yet. But for her to be kicked off right now, I wasn't too ashamed with. She did a really good job of the lip sync. I felt she did a better job than Candy, personally. Because once again, she put her own spin on it, and it worked for me. But as I'm sure you will mention, you said there was something that Candy did that you think won her the lip sync. So go for it. Convince me.
When they did the lip sync, I thought what happened was they switched.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Kasha Davis came out swinging.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, she had the lyrics. She knew what she was doing, and she is prancing and strutting, and she knew to pick up the bottom of that dress.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and play with it. And as Jaden says, Candy Ho starts here and then starts to bring it. And at one point in the song, Candy Ho lets it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And when she drops to the floor and starts rolling around and like almost thumping her chest, you know, type thing, it was one of these things. Cause they're lip syncing to Lover Girl by Tina Marie.
Uh-huh.
And when they get to that moment, that's when I would have thrown my $10 or my $20 bill. That's what I mean by, I think that's what it wanted for her, was she brought emotion to the moment. And those are usually the lip syncs that people remember or talk about, because there is a something, there is a spark, there is a whatever. And while I was not pleased that Candy stayed and Mrs. Kasha Davis sashayed away, I understood it when they were done. Now, I am going to talk about something that may seem shady, and I don't think it was meant that way.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to do visuals. For those of you listening to the podcast, I apologize. They're at opposite ends of the stage. They sort of finish towards center. They finish the lip sync. If you go back and watch it, pay close attention. Kasha looks to Candy in the perfect moment of, we're sisters, we love each other, you know, like mm-hmm. we're going to give each other a hug thing. Candy has already turned and walked away towards her end of the stage.
Yes.
Kasha then turns on heel and walks to her end of the stage.
Yeah.
Then Rue makes the decision. Candy Ho, Shantae, you stay. Candy Ho walks from her end of the stage over to Kasha Davis, turns the 90 degrees. Kasha turns towards her, like maybe thinking they might, you know, give each other a peck on each cheek, a hug. Nope. Kasha nope. walks down the runway, walks off. Candy walks off. Ooh. Kasha's Ooh. Left standing there.
Ooh.
And so Kasha rolls with it. But what bothered me the most about it was I saw all the way to the very end that Mrs. Kasha Davis, for lack of a better reference, as we've been kind of talking about, is an old school queen and has high respect for no matter who it is that she's with. And Candy Ho is of the, lack of a better reference, younger, what appears to be self-centered millennial concept.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and goes from there. So that really kind of stuck out to me and was very annoying.
Yeah.
I don't think Candy Ho was dissing Kasha. I think she was just oblivious.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think she was genuinely oblivious. Like, she just, like, they've, there was no love for them in the beginning. Like, they were, there was, Candy was the one that asked Kasha how old she was, if you remember that from the very beginning. So there was that whole thing, but I never, you know, I think that was, you know, they had that moment and now they're kind of, I'm not saying they're friends or whatever, and girl, you know, Golden Girls kind of thing, but they, clearly there wasn't a, like, buddy-buddy with them. Whereas, like, you know, Jasmine and Kennedy a couple of weeks ago, you know, that's,
right.
So for me, I'm thinking, like you said, she was just oblivious. Like, we're battling it out. We're not friends right now. I'm just going to go to my side of the stage because I'm still in my moment, you know, of lip syncing for my life. And yes, you would be expecting a hug or something. I don't know if we always see it. And that's one of the things I don't think we ever really get. Sometimes we don't always see, like, the little buddy-buddy moment, and that could just be editing. But I often feel that there should be a sisterhood sort of thing. A, you did good, you know, even though we're battling each other, there still should be like a, oh, we did okay. You know, we're both here in the bottom. Let's at least support each other in just that little way. And that's where I think, like, the little, like, sometimes the hug or the, you know, like, to each other, like a wink or smile or whatever to each other kind of thing is the one thing that I think often should happen. And I agree with you. It was a little shady, but maybe it was just because of obliterate, you know, Candy just doesn't get it. But at the same time, if she had taken maybe a second to look at the other person that you're battling against, she might have gotten that, like, hint, because clearly Kasha was there. Clearly. It wasn't a, like, oh, I wouldn't have misunderstood that, or I misunderstood what you were trying to do. It was very evident that she was trying to, like, give you a hug or give you props for what we just went through.
Right. No, I completely agree with you that was this just random moment kind of thing that stuck out to me. Another random moment I want to jump back to is during Judge's critiques. Violet gets complimented quite nicely by Isaac Mizrahi for her look. He thinks that she's what he calls a new age queen, has a great look about her, so on and so forth. I have to admit, when I went back and watched again and paid attention, she probably had the best gown of the night. When I pay attention, it has this amazing sheer component from the waist down. And if you pay close attention, you can see her, for lack of a better reference, her briefs or her panties underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sheer, but it has all this, like, you know, kind of glitter and bedazzle or whatever that kind of fades out or whatever. So you get to see her legs, and it does this, you know, kind of swoop around to the back and that. And overall, I think that it was a really great look. And of course, she had, you know, that kind of, like, Veronica finger wave thing going on, which a lot of the queens are doing right now, apparently. That's not meant to be, you know, throwing shade. I'm just making a comment that it's popular at the moment. That being said, I couldn't really take any beef with that. I got where Isaac was coming from, and I had to agree that she looked good. And, and even though I'm not a fan of her paint job, the rest of it looked all right. You know?
Yeah. And my takeaway, just I put again, and I didn't, like, I made it in all caps, and I put a question mark as well, because I don't like that Kasha left to Candy. Because I think Candy was one of the next ones to go, especially after last week. So if I had evaluated her performance last week, evaluated her performance this week, and now she's in the bottom two again from, like, earlier, I would have sent her home based solely on that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what's interesting is I'm beginning to think that Rue only sees what Rue sees on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
For several seasons, I used to think that the producers were feeding her stuff through a earplug. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, and, you know, an ear speaker or whatever you want to call it. And telling her things that were going on backstage or behind the scenes or whatever, showing her footage of other stuff. And I'm really kind of coming back around to my original philosophy that Rue doesn't know any of that, because when they show the confessional and Candy says, I don't want to be here, like, just basically owns it and says, I'm over being in the bottom two again, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just rather go home and get it over with. There was a part of me that was like, you should be sent home. And that's like a rule that I think should take place. Is, I think consistently you should be sent home. Like, that would be a really crazy scenario in, like, say, season 8 or All Stars 2, whenever that comes out, when they say, the moment a queen says, I'm tired, I don't want to be here, it's like the guillotine, and it's like, oh, you're out. I mean, that would completely shake up the game.
Yep.
The moment that's ever said to camera or something, because people would not necessarily know why people are dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, when they figure it out, they're like, oh, those are the magic words. I should not say the magic words. Magic words are bad. You know, and go from there in that case. So based on that, knowing that Candy was ready to go home, was dissatisfied and cranky and blah, 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 which part of me is like, girl, you ain't going home. All you're going to do is go back to the hotel. And then wait till the end. So...
But
apparently still, you're disillusioned, thinking you're going to go someplace, but whatever.
Bah. But I'm upset. I'm not upset. That's not a word. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm slightly disappointed, just because I think Kasha had a lot more to give. I would have loved to have seen what she was going to do for Snatch Game. Would have loved it. To know what she was going to do and how she would have done it, because I think she would have been fantastic in it. But that's just me. But I've made my peace with it. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next with regards to the show. So there we go.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next segment?
Yes, I am.
Oh, make sure you grab your glass.
Oh, wait. Okay, there we go.
Because it's cocktail time.
Uh-huh. That was a good idea.
Mm-hmm. We are at that moment where we talk about snaps and eye rolls. In other words, the hits and misses of the show. For me, snaps. I have two different pieces. First piece is I'm giving snaps to Kathy Griffin for her coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her witty repartee yet cutthroat perspective about don't do that and blah, 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 and that's been done before and, that's just a bad joke and, yeah, stop saying this. So,
yeah,
girl. I really liked that she did that. My second snaps is to Rue, because she has this amazing ability to come up with these lines. And I call them Rue mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
When she says these things, they either make me laugh or they get straight to the point. For example, during the infamous clip that we played between her and Pearl, twisting your tits here.
Yeah.
That one, I nearly fell off what I was sitting on. I think I was sitting in this chair. I nearly fell off onto the floor. I was like, what did she just say?
Yes.
The now infamous light a fire under your ass, which I appreciated. The that's why I brought your ass here.
Mm-hmm.
The very much parental guardian, I never want to see any of my girls not live up to their full potential. And then finally, I will see you all later.
And walk away.
That, I'm calling it this, I don't think it's an accurate description, but it's the only thing that's come to mind over the past couple days. I call that her mommy dearest moment. when RuPaul drops her voice to a hush and she says, "Well, I will see you all later."
Mm-hmm.
I was creeped out. I was like, oh, shit.
That's what made her uncomfortable. That's what made Max uncomfortable, was that her lowering her, that quiet, like, basically, I'm saying, I will be seeing you later, meaning I'll be seeing you on the, as we judge you, and I'll probably be seeing you again in the bottom three. If you don't light that fire in your ass and do something.
Yeah. So snaps to Kathy Griffin for the coaching, snaps to Rue for her one-liner comments in that tete-a-tete thing. It was amazing. Now for my eye rolls.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I got two of them, and everybody out there, if you've been paying attention for four God-blessed episodes already, you know what one of them is about to be. I will start with the one that you probably don't expect, which is I am about to take a glue gun to Violet. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but from the moment I saw it, the next time I watched the show, I just wanted to reach into that goddamn screen and fix her wig.
Uh-oh.
Her temples on her lace front came undone. Like right here and right here. And in one shot of the camera, there's this weird like flesh-colored hair or fabric or something, and I'm like, what the hell is this thing over here? And then I realize it happened on both sides. You can see it in Untucked over here too, that whatever she had used as adhesive was not holding and it was starting to pop off and come undone. And I was like, we've talked about it before, and I will give the disclaimer that yes, you are done up and painted and you are glued and cinched and all that kind of crap for Lord only knows 12 to 16 goddamn hours. The moment you notice or feel that stuff, which I hope you could, unless you've had a ton of Botox, then you should know that that shit is happening and you should be making an attempt to fix it. Please.
Glue. You should always have those essentials in your purse. If you're doing a wig thing, you should have some kind of glue. You should always have your lipstick. You should always have your powder pad or whatever to block off due to blocking and stuff like that. I'm always forgetting the other things. Oh, glue, either the glue for the adhesive here and also glue for your eyebrows or your eyelashes, because
right,
you know, and
nobody wants a Gia Gunn wonky eye.
Nope. Wonk. And I'm gonna forget something else. Oh, bobby pins. You should probably put some bobby pins in your purse just because you never know where that wheel's gonna go. So anyway, but yeah, but go ahead and keep going, because they'll tie in together anyway. So go ahead.
And then we're back to yet again. Now, I will say this. Finally, in the applying makeup stage, I got to see the apparatus you've been referring to.
Yeah.
Vane, we best not meet on the street one day. I'm just telling you right now.
Oh.
Because if we do, and I have enough time, I will run to the motherfucking dollar store and I will buy what looks like scotch tape and I will run up to you and I will throw it in your face and I will say, do you see this? Do you see this? Because I've seen it, and I've seen it too many God blessed times on your head. Fix your shit. Either quit doing the apparatus with the band and the tape and the pole and the whatever. Go to something completely different. Get surgery. Have Botox injections. I don't care what the hell it is that you do. Or start learning to apply clay or putty or something to cover that shit up. Because now it is annoying the ever-living fuck out of me. It is every blessed episode.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently. In fact, if I ever go someplace and she's performing on stage, I expect to see it. And if I don't see it, I don't know whether I'm going to be happy or mad, because I am so used to it now. I am D-O-N-E done.
Ooh. Now there's
fix
a hashtag.
It. And so here's the thing that makes me the most mad about it. Not the fact that she's still doing it. Now what I'm irritated by is that now the mother living judge in five episodes has said anything.
Yeah.
So help me, she makes it to top three, which I'm not complaining about her making it to top three, but she makes it to top three, and not a single judge has ever said anything about her tape. I'm going to send a very not nice message to Logo and to World of Wonder Productions. Thank you very much for putting on the show. We appreciate it. All credits and copyrights and trademarks to you, but come on. Right, my box. As are my eye rolls. Ooh. Damon.
Wow. I don't even know if I can follow that one. Shit.
You can follow it. You just don't have to. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I will give Snaps. We mentioned it earlier. I'm giving Snaps to Mrs. Katja Davis and Katja's frock, paper, scissors routine. The idea, like we said, the idea was to make the idea, the dresses of famous, you know, people on the run. I keep saying runway, red carpet kind of looks and everything. And I loved their Joan Rivers and Bjork. It was hilarious. It was the outfit looked really nice, you know, for the, I don't know how long they had to make them, but you know, whatever. But it made sense and it just worked really well and it was hilarious. And Mrs. Katja Davis got a chance to once again put just that one little dig into Pearl Lynn. Was it Pearl or Violet? It was whoever it was. It was somebody. Don't care who. But she still took that moment to just jab that knife in just ever so slightly. I laughed the entire time because it was so perfect, so wonderful. It made everything much more enjoyable because they could have just walked out in the outfit, you know, and done nothing with it. But instead, they had a lot of fun with it. So kudos to them. And that's why they won that challenge. So that's my snaps, my eye rolls, girl. So on the runway, they're talking about they're talking to Miss Fame. They're giving Miss Fame her critiques, and
not to interject on you, Damon, but I want to say this: RuPaul is a dirty bird. she got a sailor potty mouth on her, and she loves a good like sexual innuendo punny kind of humor thing.
Yes,
she's blue. She likes blue humor. She, you know. Speaking of, I'm going to tag that real quick. I was amused and yet horrified when Fame and Violet are talking to Kathy Griffin. And Kathy Griffin says, that's pretty blue. And coming from me, that's kind of bad. And Fame says, what's that mean? And I'm like, palmed forehead. Okay. And here's the thing is, I think the reaction from Kathy started to show that Kathy might have figured out, you're young.
Yeah,
wow. You don't get it. Because both of them were like, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. Learn something new every day. And I'm like, okay. So, sorry. I didn't mean to interject. That leads into what you're at.
Yeah. So they literally, I think it was RuPaul. They literally handed Miss Fame a joke. She literally said, how's your head? And they were talking because Miss Fame was like complaining about how she gets in her head and she got, you know, all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. I don't even forget what she said, but RuPaul literally says, how's your head? And all the judges got it and started snickering and whatnot. And Miss Fame was like, oh, well, I just felt like I was in my head. And I'm like, oh, no, I literally gave you this joke for you to run with. You could have had a quick one-liner. You could have just kept going. Oh, my God. I felt so bad for her because they all gave, like, and they're waiting for her to get it. And I wonder if she did. Like,
I think she did after Michelle finally turned to Rue and says she hasn't had any complaints. Like gives the classic response.
Uh-huh.
I thought, yes, I think Fame finally, because there's a camera
quick.
Like they go back to her and she has that like, oh, like that brief. And I'm kind of like, oh.
Oh, you missed it. Missed it. Oh, went right over your head. Literally.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. Could have just said there were 1,000 things you could have said right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know, ask Michelle Visage, just something like to just, it just would have been so hilarious. Just go for it. And she didn't. And I just felt so bad for her. And that's just my eye roll, just because, like, I know you're not a comedy queen, Miss Fame, but when you miss a golden opportunity like that,
she's being too serious about the game, quote unquote, instead of realizing the levity of the moment, where she could have said something like, well, it was good, but since we're all sequestered, I'm probably rusty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just something.
We're going to give it a 10, but, you know, since I've been here, I'll give it about a 5 because I ain't nobody here I can do. You know, just so many things. So many things.
I mean, Detox is the perfection of handling that kind of stuff, because Detox probably would have said, well, it was a 10 when I walked in here, and I'm pretty sure I can get every male member of this crew to give me a 10 again.
Yes.
Let's go. Like, she would have just picked it up and run with it. Not missed it.
But anyway, that's not Miss Fame's forte.
Nope, she's busy thinking about chicken.
And tape.
Okay.
Mushy ass eyebrows.
Are you ready for the last segment?
Yeah.
Sure. All right, closing thoughts. My final impression is, and this is such a weird takeaway because it came too late.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Kasha Davis has, in my opinion, fucking amazing legs.
Hmm.
She lip syncs for her life, and she picks up that long, bedazzled diamond-looking gown, and it is split practically to her hoochie.
Yep.
And she is running around, and all I did was stare at her gams. Now, I realize that for some people, they think she might be fat. I don't care. I think that she's well-proportioned, and all I kept thinking is, where the hell have those legs been all season?
Yeah.
Because they are very shapely, and they don't really have cellulite, and they look great.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I think they look better than her face. There are times that her paint's a little harsh for me.
But her legs, though.
I was like, and I also agree with the compliment that she looks like Joan Collins.
Yeah.
That she has that Jackie Collins, Joan Collins kind of, look about her. And I realized some people didn't like that. And I was like, girl, if I were you, I'd run with it. Like I said before, she reminds me of these Amway Tupperware, queens who literally do that as a profession dressed up. She seems straight in that thing. And that's going to lead into my final thought here. I think she has a career hawking booze.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has this amazing philosophy that I can't disagree with more. I'm going to take it everywhere from now on because I think it's perfect. And I got a little clip to play right from the very end. She has a great interaction with Rue. RuPaul says, Mrs. Kasha Davis, make sure you call up Mr. Kasha Davis or Mr. Davis and tell him that you're coming home, and she says, well, I hope he's got that box wine chilling.
Yeah.
And then she goes and she leaves, and I loved that she does like 3-4 steps to the T in the runway, and she does the 90-degree left turn, and without missing a beat, she immediately says, love you, girls, immediately throws the love out there to the rest of the contestants and walks to the end of the stage, turns around, and then gets this great last moment in.
There's always time for a cocktail.
I raise my glass to you, girl.
Yes. Classy.
Yes.
Classy.
True to her character to the very end.
Mm-hmm. Very classy. I like that. I love that. And it's a very good line.
She reminds me so much, and this is not a bad thing at all. She reminds me so much of Jinx Monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
This kitschy yet classic, you know, kind of housewife who needs a job because she got nothing better to do. Jinx notably was a narcoleptic, you know, slut who is always trying to sleep with men. Mrs. Kasha Davis, on the other hand, has a man, lives a good, like, higher-end life, and just wants, you know, everybody to have a cocktail and have a good time and be a hostess with the mostest, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that was my closing thought, was that I bow to you, Mrs. Kasha Davis. I thought you did an amazing job. I think you had the perfect philosophy. Your final moments on stage were great. Your comments to confessional when you were holding your statue, Maquette, of RuPaul, I thought she also had some very poignant things to say, that she was unhappy, she was disappointed that she was going home, but she said that's life. And she was just going to roll with it and keep on going, and I loved her little quip. I don't know quite what she means, but she made some smart-ass comment about that she's going to be the best-looking person on the, you know, to come back or on the runway, like that. I was kind of like, oh, so apparently that might be a reference to the fact that she had an outfit she never got to use.
Perhaps.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So my final thought, or my final, like my kind of, I'll call this my final little takeaway. And it's, to me, it's about this I'm over it that these young queens are kind of doing. And I hate, I'm going to get on my soapbox again, just because I'm getting a little, you know, given what we saw of Mrs. Kasha Davis, who has this character and has this unique personality and all this very funny things and whatnot, and knew herself, even to the end, was even though she was leaving, she left gracefully, in my opinion, with that class and her, you know, that quick one-liner, left as who she was. She never really, I don't want to say she never changed, but, you know, she was herself, and that's the one thing I like. Where you've got these other queens, these young queens that are so upset that they're kind of being chipped at, that they want to throw in a towel, or you know, like Candy with the, you know, I'm ready to go home kind of thing. If that's your mentality, if that's the way you feel about this show or about life in general, if someone just kind of knocks you down for a little bit, if you're being like, oh, I'm done, I don't like this, wah, that's my feeling about it, wah, quit your bitching, grow up, and move forward. That's the only way you're going to make it through life and through this competition, is right. If you do not take their criticisms, and if you don't like what they have to say, that's fine. You don't have to like what they have to say, but understand that they are the ones that you are trying to impress. You have to impress them. Yes, ultimately it all comes down to Rue, but Rue has Michelle Visage in her ear. She has these other people there. That's why they're there. That's what they're there for. Yeah, the decision always usually comes down to her, but guess what? If she wanted to be on that panel just by herself, oh, you best believe she would have been, you know? So, like, don't take this for granted. And like what she said, like what Rue said to Pearl, you know, I hate to see these girls, my girls, not live up to their potential. She's not just saying that. Yes, she said it to Pearl, but she's saying that to all of you, because if you give up now, if you say I'm over it, like Jasmine and the pack in the bags thing, if you're going to give up, might as well give up and go home and get yourself out of the way. We've heard it in a few seasons past where, like, the other queens see that and they're like, why are you even here if you're going to be like all this, like, I'm ready to go home or I'm over it. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Then go. Bye, Felicia. Just one less person I have to step over to get to the crown. Like, So yes, I'm over it.
Nice.
Like, we're now 5 episodes in, and there are 9 queens left.
nine queens left, so we have definitively five more episodes guaranteed to get us to the end.
Yeah. So, you know, like, this is, to me, this is the time where if you're over it, it's going to show. And you will be gone. That's why I felt like Candy should have been gone. Because if you're saying all these things and you're kind of like over it and blah, 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 and you can't impress the judges with your talent, with the in the challenges, then you should probably go.
Yeah. I completely agree with you that this is probably the time when people get frustrated with the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as an audience grow weary of getting to the end, because to us it's obvious by watching who we want in the end, and we're waiting for them to either fuck it up or for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, yet again, we have to wait for this person to be eliminated or whatever it is. So yeah, I completely understand that. I get where you're coming from, that you're like, I am over being over it.
Yeah.
And speaking of being over, it's time to wrap up the show. So there's many ways to contact us here for Cubs Out Loud. You can go to our website, which simply is cubsoutloud.com. You can also send us an email to cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Obviously, we have a Facebook account. You can check us out there at facebook.com/cubsoutloud, all one word. We have a Twitter account, simply twitter.com/cubsoutloud. We have a Google Plus account, so it's google.com/plus Cubs Out Loud. We also have Bear Underground, the official Bear online network that we have for Cubs Out Loud. You can join the COL group there and the entourage. Make sure that you say hello. And, of course, on iTunes, feel free to go on and rate us. Stitcher Radio, you can give us a thumbs up. We finally have figured out how to get your comments off of Stitcher Radio.
Yay!
Took us over a year to finally read the one that we had, but we got that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, I am Gary, otherwise known as GareBear73, pretty much all those places online that we just discussed, and more.
Yes. And I am – I'm sorry, I'm looking to make sure I wasn't muted again. I am TheaterCub79 on Bear401, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeftyNet. I believe I'm still on HeftyNet. I haven't been on there in a while. Sorry.
That's all right. And with that said, it's the end of the show. So thanks for watching, kids. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Drag Race, Monday nights on Logo. See you next Tuesday.